All right, everybody. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome back to Double Indemnity, the podcast.
The
The
podcast.
podcast where we try to have a serious conversation about movies. How do you like that? Is that a cute slogan? Do you like
Yeah,
that?
I like it.
You do? Okay. I don't know. Maybe we'll stick with it. I haven't decided yet. But few first things to start the podcast. Remember, you guys can watch our podcast on YouTube if you want. We're the Double Indemnity podcast. So check us out if you want to visually see it, if you're already visually seeing it. Hello. Thank you for seeing us. If you want, you can listen to us and other places as well. And we also have a letterbox for our podcast. So we post every single Monday the movie that we're about to review. So if people want to go on there and leave their reviews and opinions too, they can. And we can talk about it. I don't know. Be cool if someone did. They're probably not going to.
Probably not.
So we're just going to give our good opinions. Our very great opinions. So, welcome to a cold and snowy, windy night in South Dakota.
It's a blizzard.
It's not a blizzard. Now that we live in South Dakota, I could not tell you what a blizzard is because to me, this is a blizzard. You know? Like
I
there
guess
is
that's true.
snow blowing in the air. There is snow everywhere. But I feel like to someone who's actually from South Dakota, like they wouldn't call this a blizzard.
They probably wouldn't. It's probably a lot more extreme than this.
Yeah, it's probably very extreme. So
That's
I wonder
terrifying.
if we're going to see a real blizzard. I'm just going to laugh one day when someone from here is like, there's a blizzard coming. I'm like, oh shit. Oh fuck. Oh. We're just talking about how we don't want to like curse on the podcast. And I'm sitting here like cursing like
Great
crazy
job. You
lady.
were lecturing me about how I should tone down my language.
I
Here we are.
know, because he's just got such a big potty mouth. But yeah, I will say that I don't remember what I was going to will say. So. Maybe if I remember, I will say it. So, moving on, Jonathan, what movie are we going to talk about today?
Today we will be talking about the
Oh, I remember what I was going
2019
to
film.
say.
Oh,
I
please
just want
interrupt me. Why
everybody
don't
to
you?
know that there are going to be spoilers in this, okay? Lots of spoilers. If you want to be spoiled, watch this. If you don't watch this. Or listen, you know what I mean. And also, we are getting over the flu. So please forgive us if we cough or sniffle or we sound like trash because
Yes.
we're still getting there, but we're
Probably
better.
still sound like trash.
Okay, you can continue now.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.
We'll be talking about the 2019 movie The Lighthouse, directed by Robert Eggers, which was his follow-up to the highly acclaimed 2015 The Witch, or The Vivitch,
See, I've never heard
as
of that.
have you ever seen it? Never
No,
seen it,
never
never
even
heard of
heard of
it?
it, never seen it.
It's a good scary movie,
It's a
actually.
scary movie. Oh, I think I have heard of it, actually.
I think you've seen, yeah.
The Vvitch, of course. That brings it to me.
Of course, yes. And then he also directed the, was that last year? No, that was this year, the 2022 movie The Northman, which
Oh my
was
God, I heard it was.
excellent.
Okay, see, that's so funny because I heard somebody else tell me that The Northman was really boring.
Well, that's
But
because they
it's a
probably didn't
stacked
have the
cast.
patience for it.
I'm not a patient person.
That's true,
So
especially
probably
during
wouldn't
this
like
movie.
it. So that's the same director. I didn't know that. Because I
Yeah.
thought The Northman was like more of a Game of Thrones vibe.
It is, yeah.
Because this is not a Game of Thrones vibe.
No, it's very different.
Yeah. Okay. Well, carry on. I was surprised by that.
Yeah, I'd say like Robert Eggers is like one of like the three like main horror directors
He's a
in the
horror
21st
director? I guess
century.
this was kind of a scary movie.
Yeah, it's scary. It's him, Jordan Peele, and Ari Aster.
In your opinion.
In my opinion. My
Yeah.
humble opinion.
Oh, yeah, because you're so humble with your opinions.
I am.
Okay.
I love this movie so much.
Okay. Do you want to tell
It's
us?
five out of five
You want to
stars.
tell us what the movie's about?
Oh yeah, sure.
He got so
I
excited, you
got so
guys. He
excited.
couldn't help himself.
So this movie only really stars three people, actually. The movie's about two Wiccies that they're at this lighthouse together. One's an older gentleman, and one it's more a young adult, played by Robert Pattinson, and the older gentleman is played by Willem Dafoe. Incredible performances. And the movie just follows them doing their duties around the lighthouse, and then things start to get pretty weird. Yeah, that's the best summary I could probably give.
That's your summary.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's a pretty good summary. It's pretty much what happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And so 5 stars from Jonathan.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, 5 stars. Carry
I think I actually saw this movie in theaters. I'm very surprised that it was playing. back in South Carolina. In the Carolinas? Regal. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. At the normal Regal. Mm-hmm. Really? It seems like something that would only be at, like, at one of those artsy, you know, because, you know, there's some theaters that really, like, show those artsy films that are kind of out there. I would have expected that to be there. But it is 824, which is a very mainstream production company.
They're not mainstream, but they've gained a lot of popularity
like,
through
everybody knows what 824 is. Well, not everybody, but, like, people who I feel like keep up with movies on a general level have heard of A24. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I saw this movie. There were not that many people in the theater at all. But the people that were there were actually listening and paying attention, which I appreciated.
Yeah, but the people who weren't there weren't.
That's true. Yeah.
So I wonder, like, how well did it do in the box office? Do you know?
I looked it up today, actually. It made $18.2 million.
So was that considered a success?
Out of a budget of $11 million, I want to say.
So it's not very good.
I mean, it's an independent movie.
Is that the right
use of margins? I got to double check. Yeah, that's the right word.
Okay. He was a business major, and I was an engineering major. So whenever I say any businessy things, I feel like I sound really stupid.
I got to look up the budget really quick, because I think it was 11. Yeah, it was 11
million.
They
literally built that lighthouse. Like, they built the whole set, and they shot it all on site. So, like, that must have been very expensive.
Yeah.
Because I heard it was, like, treacherous weather. Like, it was really bad weather, right?
Yeah, it was an awful shoot.
Yeah. I heard that, or I didn't hear, I read that, like, the shoot, like, the majority of the bad weather scenes, they didn't have to produce on their own. It was all natural, just weather. It was just that bad. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
That blew my mind, because, I mean, half of the movie is a storm.
Pretty much.
I mean, of course, on set, they probably were producing storm, things like that.
True, like
did they shoot all of the indoor scenes at that location too?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, wow. Because I feel like normally they do the exterior stuff at their fancy set, and then they do interior things elsewhere. So I appreciate when a movie actually shoots the interior scenes inside the building it's supposed to be, because so many times, and I mean, you see this mostly in like cheap Hallmark movies and stuff, but they'll film the outside of this gorgeous house, and then the second you go in the house and you're like, it is so obvious that's not the same house. Like, the windows are, it's like, it's just obvious. And my mom was a residential architect, so like, she always points out things in houses that I don't know. I wouldn't say I know much about homes, but I notice things about houses because my mom's always talked about it.
Yeah.
And so whenever I see the outside of a house in a movie, I'm always like, when they go inside, I'm like, is that the same setup? At least did they set their setup?
As far as I know, it was the same set on the inside as it was on the outside.
Yeah? Okay. Well, I imagine that's pretty cool. I hope they did. It seems like the kind of film where they wanted it to be that like natural, raw, and that they would do that. Because, you know, sometimes the directors get really carried away with that stuff.
True.
And I feel like they would have been very thorough with the way that they did it.
Yeah, Robert Eggers is a really like thorough director. He does like so much research into everything he does. It's very interesting.
I mean, that's good. That's what you should do. Mm-hmm. If you're trying to make cinema and film.
Film.
You know, I feel like you should do that. If you're trying to make movies like The Avengers and stuff, then like, who cares?
Those are shit movies anyways.
Yeah.
No, they're not. I actually do enjoy them.
They're expensive movies.
And they make a lot of money. Some of them.
If you judge a movie by how much money it made, then The Lighthouse is a very crappy movie.
That's true, but you cannot do that because most
movies. At least they made a profit.
Did
they make a profit though? Because do they include the salaries of their actors? Because I mean,
probably not. But
those were pretty high-paying actors. But I think that they did it for more of like if they wanted to work with the director. But
I doubt they would have gotten a big payday from that, or would have wanted a big
payday. It was more for the acting, yeah. But I feel like if you think about it, like in those darn like Avengers movies and stuff, they probably got paid like more than some people probably got paid more than like the total budget of that was just they're paying the salaries of people. It's crazy how much actors get paid.
It's crazy.
It blows my mind what we value, you know? Like, I mean, we pay millions of dollars to actors and sports players.
Sports players, yeah.
And you know what? They're not easy jobs. Like, they're not easy jobs. But it's like, really? Like, that's who we're paying millions of dollars for their job? Like, you know, people who cure cancer? Not like we need to pay them good money. Or even give them money to cure cancer. Sorry, I'm going on a different rant. So let's talk about my review of the movie.
Yeah, what do you think?
So I feel bad now because I respect the director and like what he's going for and his vision and everything. But I feel like I would give the movie itself like a 2.5 stars.
2.5?
2.5 stars, yeah.
I'm not surprised.
It was just, it was a little too out there for me. And I'm just going to say, it's not that I think it's a bad movie. I would just say, in my opinion, watchability and enjoyability, like, if that's what you're going for, which is all that I go for, it was a 2.5 stars.
I mean, that's fair. I can see the fact that it is not like, oh, let's just throw on The Lighthouse, guys, and just in the background and have a good time. It's not that kind of movie.
Yeah, it was a very unusual movie.
It actually got one Oscar nomination for cinematography.
Really?
Which I was really happy about that, because cinematography is excellent.
It was excellent. You could tell they put a lot of effort into it.
And the lighting? Yeah.
Yeah. Did you hear that, like, with the clothes, if you see pictures of it in real life, like, the colors are really weird?
It looks so weird.
They were, like, planning what the contrast would be on the black and white film, which I thought was really cool. Because they wanted their clothes to stand out and not be a wash. And I was like, I wouldn't even think of that. It was really cool.
Yeah,
I want to see pictures of it now. I actually haven't looked at any pictures.
A picture of Robert Pattinson's character, Ephraim Winslow. That was the name that he took on.
Yeah, his alias.
His alias. And he looks like Mario.
In real life? Yeah. It was that bright?
Yeah, I think it was that bright.
Whoa, I'd have to see that. That's crazy. Oh, yeah. My God, that's crazy. Okay. All right. So, do you want to talk about some of the things that you noticed in the movie?
For sure.
Anything you want to talk about? Because I have lots of things.
First off, this movie is, like, actually low-key hilarious. Because there's just so many just, like, dark comedic moments.
Okay, I'm not going to lie. Every time that you laughed at something was a moment when the monologue or whatever they were doing had been dragged on for so long that I was not paying attention. So, like, every time Jonathan laughed, I'd be like, oh, I don't know what he's laughing at. Like,
you
I
couldn't was not pay attention to Willem Dafoe?
No, I couldn't. Okay, Willem Dafoe, I'm sorry, Willem Dafoe went on so many monologues. And, you know, they were good. They were good monologues. But they were boring. And I was not paying attention. And every time it was some sea curse. So I was like, oh, it's another sea curse. I'm not actually listening to what he's saying. You know?
I just couldn't take my eyes off the screen, honestly.
You couldn't take your eyes off him?
No.
Wow, he's so enticing.
It's very enticing. Willem, if you're out there. Yeah, the movies are so funny. They go on these, like, monologues. And the Edvard Padson's like, fine. Have it your way. or Willem Dafoe goes,
they're short little
comments. You have a way with words.
I know. I actually read somewhere that they had to go through and, like, very intentionally edit the movie to make sure that it wasn't too funny, because they said that the two of them were going off, like, at each other, and it was hilarious. Like, the things that they were saying back and forth, just, like, ad-libbing, that they had to make sure that they, like, toned the music in a certain way that it wasn't somehow just a comedy movie.
That's funny.
Which I thought was so funny. It was so funny they had to make it less funny.
Yeah.
But there were definitely some jokes that were funny, but I didn't realize they were funny until you relayed back to me, like, what had happened, because I was zoned out. I mean, that was a long movie. It was like an hour and...
It was 2 hours.
50 minutes or something. Yeah, it was long. It was a movie where I was, like, checking in to see how much longer we had left.
Yeah, that's true. You did do that.
Yeah. So, I'm sorry, but...
That's okay. But yeah, this movie is like a black comedy, like a thriller, and then like a Lovecraftian horror all put into one.
What is a Lovecraftian horror?
So like H.P. Lovecraft, he's like a...
Sounds like a rapper name.
What?
Sounds like a rapper name, H.P. Lovecraft.
Lovecraft.
Yeah, no, like the H.P.
Lovecraft
too.
Productions.
What? I don't know, it sounds so weird.
He was like a famous... kind of like renowned sci-fi horror director.
Okay.
And so like that movie was very like Lovecraftian, you would say. I'm trying to think of other movies that fall under that category. There's an indie movie called The Void that's very Lovecraftian.
Okay, look, you're out of my
sorry,
league.
You asked.
Well, do you want to go on some of my talking points? Because I have lots of them.
I mean, I have a lot of talking points, honestly.
Okay.
But
well,
this is more about when we want to get into the symbolism of it all.
Okay, I'm not ready for metaphors yet. Oh, actually, there's a lot of... I'll mention metaphors eventually, but I just want to say that anytime Jonathan wants to talk about something related to A24, you have to take it with a grain of salt because he is completely brainwashed.
Okay, that is, in my defense, not true. I dislike some A24 movies.
Okay, well, you have this weird obsession with A24, and you know what? They are fantastic. They make some good stuff.
Yeah.
But you're a little extreme, is all I'm gonna say. Moving on. I just wanted to let that out there in the world, just so everybody knows you are biased and your opinions cannot be trusted. So the next note that I wrote here was all caps, one word that I would describe this movie, and it's boring. Specifically, I noted all of the monologues and how he was always cursing Rob. I mean, he always had a curse for Rob. I'm going to curse you. Oh, this is going to happen. You're cursed. This is going to happen. You're cursed.
I think it was a little more in depth than, oh, this is going to happen. You're cursed. But yeah, oh, go on. Heard,
you're cursed. Like, you know, it was just a little bit. He was literally just like.
He was a superstitious man.
I think all of the monologues were boring. And also, I have to say, Robert Pattinson, fantastic actor, and I'm not knocking him or anything. But there was something weird about his accent. Like, the way that he talked felt like a little forced sometimes. Like, it seemed like he was trying too hard with the way he was talking. And I could never do an accent like that. You know what I mean? Yeah. I could never. He did way better than I would ever do. I'm not judging him. But sometimes I felt like it didn't sound natural coming from him. And I mean, he does American accents in a lot of his movies. So I know he's good at accents, but there was just something about it that was off. And maybe it was just the way they designed his accent, but I thought it was weird. I don't know.
There were a couple times where I kind of noticed what you're saying.
Yeah, where it felt a little bit like it didn't feel real. Like it didn't feel like natural the way he was saying it and it was coming out. Like he would say it like that. But also not a lot of the things that his character did seem natural.
No, so, that's true.
You know, I don't know. But one thing that I did want to mention I thought was interesting is how they made the movie black and white. And I feel like the reason they did that is because anytime we imagine anything, say, before the 1930s or something. I don't know exactly when color movies were invented, but before they made anything before then, like that, those time periods, everybody imagines them just being in black and white.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. You can't imagine Abraham Lincoln and George Washington and all the historical things that happened in the world. I love how I'm saying presidents, but those are the things that were in mind. There were so many more historical things that happened than the random presidents that we had, but Abraham Lincoln was a pretty good president.
He was pretty good.
He's a pretty good guy.
Yeah.
He had his faults, but he's a pretty good guy.
Everybody does.
Everybody has their faults. But I love how it's like you imagine them in black and white. And I think the movie was like going for this like general just old time period. Mm-hmm. And it didn't really matter when it was happening. But the fact that it was in black and white for some reason made it feel like, oh, this was happening a long time ago. You know, mm-hmm. like it was an old movie. I think it's funny how everybody just imagines that time period in black and white because of what photography was then, not because of what the life was at all.
What it actually was.
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting.
I want to say it was like in the 1890s when this
I think
place.
That you're right. I think that that's the date that they put on it.
Oh, really?
I think that is maybe, the date they put. It was like 1890, but I thought it was funny because I think the movie was going for this outside of time concept, like especially since, you know, they were going crazy. They didn't really know what the date was or the time, and we didn't know because we were going crazy with them. And I thought it was interesting, the symbolism of him punching the clock, basically, like, killing time. Because it really wasn't there. There was no concept of it, so what does it matter if he punches the clock?
I think that's interesting.
I thought it was a good symbolism of that when he did that. I thought it was interesting.
Oh.
Yeah. So, if you want to get into some more of your talking points before I dig into mine, because I didn't really go too much into what symbolisms of things were because nothing made sense. So if you had some symbolism that you want to talk about, please.
Sure.
Get to the table.
There's definitely a lot of, like, I think the director said this. I think his quote was like, nothing good can ever happen to two men trapped in a giant penis.
I heard that. I heard that he kept saying that, like, all over the place.
It's like a lot of phallic imagery and a lot of sexual imagery throughout the whole movie.
I hated it. It was gross. I hate, like, unnecessary sexual scenes and stuff.
I thought it was interesting because...
Well, of course you would.
Of course I would. I've, like, seen, like, read online, this is not, like, my own thought, but, like, the whole, like, movie is about, like, bisexuality and, like... each man struggle with it in the movie.
I don't think that the men struggle with bisexuality. I think they just struggle from, like, not having sex at all. They're just stranded on a rock. And they don't have... They're not in
love with anybody. Or maybe not bisexuality, but...
I don't agree with that.
Homosexuality. I don't know. I thought that was kind of interesting.
I think they were just going crazy and they were desiring, like, human touch.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they could have been gay and I didn't know it and they just didn't like each other or something, but I didn't think that they were. I mean, the one guy didn't seem like he was gay or bi. Rob.
Yeah, Rob. Ephraim. Yeah.
Tom. Whatever you want to call him. He's got
we'll call many him names. Ephraim. We'll call Willem Thomas. Okay. Because Ephraim's other name, real name, is Thomas, which is very confusing.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of got about the symbolism of, like, the light itself. Like, they're trying to, like, reach, like, enlightenment, almost. Mm-hmm. And whatever is so far out of reach will always tempt you, but eventually that, like, destroys you.
Okay, that's interesting. Because what's weird, though, is, like, Thomas had that, right? He, like, basically owned the light. He had it from Rob, and he wasn't being destroyed. Rob was being destroyed. Just with the desire of getting it.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
So once you get it, you're fine, but just the desire to have it destroys you?
Maybe, but also, Willem Dafoe was, or Thomas was going crazy with the light as well. It just took him longer? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't think Thomas was going crazy. I think that we were supposed to be in Rob's head and going along with what was happening to him. And I think Thomas wasn't going crazy, but I don't think Thomas was normal either. Like, I think he had his issues, obviously, just in the way his character was, but...
Why'd you spill your beans?
Oh my gosh, I hated that. That was so creepy. That was so creepy.
I know you're fond of me, lobster.
Yeah, their relationship was so weird, which I wanted to talk about, actually, was, like, this weird... Well, I don't know if you know the answer, because I don't, but what was the entire symbolism of, like, during the day, they're friends, and they're so... they or not their friends. During the day, they hate each other, and they're sober, and they have to work, and they just, like, can't stand the existence of the other person. But then at night, they're high, and they are best friends, and they have an amazing time. And it's just a sick cycle, and it gets worse and worse. Like, the longer it goes on, the better friends they are at night. But the longer it goes on, the more they hate each other during the daytime. Like, it was such a weird paradox of, like, why did the sunshine versus the nighttime give this to them? Like, make them crazy. Like, and I wonder if that symbolism goes along with the light,
Yeah.
I don't know. I was so confused by it. Interesting. I was like, what's so different about it?
Yeah, there were a lot of moments when they'd just be, like, arguing and yelling and almost killing each other, and then it cuts to them, like, hugging.
I know, when they're, like, at night and they're high or drunk or whatever.
Drunk, yeah.
Well, I mean, do you get drunk off of lamp oil or you just get high?
It probably does some stuff to your mind and your body.
In general, incapacitation.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Another kind of, like, thought was interesting was that, or not, like, symbolism, but theory, is that Ephraim was alone the whole time, and that Thomas is just in his head, just constantly nagging him.
Interesting. See, I had a theory about that actually Ephraim wasn't there, and Thomas was.
Wait, really?
And that Thomas was, or maybe it wasn't the other way, I can't remember what it was. I think it was that somehow they were the same person. One was the older version and one was the younger, and they were driving themselves crazy. So I don't know which one would have been there, but I feel like one of them could have been real and the other one could have been their younger self or older self tormenting them internally as they go crazy on the island.
I think I saw that theory, because when at the end of the movie, when Robert Pattinson looks into the light and just kind of goes berserk, you can hear him, like, break his leg on the way down the stairs. And Thomas, as we know, has a broken leg.
And you don't really know why because he changed his story up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, that's a good theory. See, I just came up with that theory on my own. So first off, genius to me, because normally when I come up with theories, people don't really think they're that smart. So I'm really proud of myself that somebody else agreed with me. And yeah, they also brought evidence to back their claims. I was just thinking it. So thank you for backing my claims.
You're welcome. Or like, are both men two halves of like the same psyche?
What do you mean, psyche?
Of like the same mind. One.
So like one person who is suffering from like when they have multiple personas, like that mental illness.
Kind of. Yeah.
I know it's not. It's not called multiple personality disorder. That's like a common misconception, but it is a real disorder where people have the like multiple personas or something inside them. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Oh, well then you don't know what you're saying. This is such a fantastic conversation.
I know, we're getting so in deep. You're thinking deep.
Okay. Yeah. I was so confused also by the whole entire when things really went crazy. When he, all of a sudden, Willem Dafoe was like a dog and he just let him bury him and kill him.
Yeah, that was interesting because,
I
didn't really get it either. And like, and then afterwards, he just comes back and attacks him with an axe.
Yeah,
and then,
so he wasn't really dead. He just passed out or something. Oh my God, and watching that scene was awful because he was just piling the dirt in his mouth. And I was like, he had to keep talking. And you know what? They shot it multiple times.
That must have not been fun to film.
Yeah, I thought it was really funny though how they kind of tricked you. And you think that, like, you think that Ephraim is going to save Tom for a second, but he's just looking for his keys.
I know, right? Yes.
You think that he has a moment of, like, oh, my God, what did I do? But in reality, he's like, oh, I can get the keys, and I go up to the light now. And, yeah, I'm killing with the axe. I wonder if there was some symbolism to the axe.
Because he used to work in, like, timber.
Oh, see, I know there was something. I just didn't know what.
Yes.
See, I was onto something.
That was interesting. That Thomas always refers to the lighthouse as a better wife than any living woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I guess maybe that's part of the isolation of being a lighthouse keeper is just your inability to have a sexual release.
I wonder, though, because they both had their outlet of, like, a woman, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the one guy was obsessed with his, like, mermaid figurine and the idea of meeting a mermaid and, like, having sex with a mermaid. And then Willem's was the lighthouse itself was his sexual outlet. Yeah, it's gross. Let's not talk about the sex things anymore. That's nasty.
This is another kind of theory about the symbolism of it all. Kind of goes deep into it. So
let's go deep.
We're going deep.
We're going real deep.
This stems from Greek mythology. It's the story of Prometheus and Proteus.
I don't know who that is.
So he's one of the like first old men of the sea, keeper of knowledge. He knew everything there is to know, but he hated sharing that knowledge. And he was kind of a prickly old guy.
Nobody likes a prickly old guy.
It's true. I don't.
Okay. So this Orpheus.
And then Proteus.
Oh.
Orpheus.
Like produce. Proteus.
And then Prometheus.
I've heard of Prometheus. Yeah.
Good movie.
That came out on my birthday.
Fun fact.
Anybody wants to know my birthdays? Look up when Prometheus came out. I remember I went with my dad, who was so excited. My dad was a really big fan of the Alien movies, which are fantastic movies, let me say. And when Prometheus came out, it's kind of like a prequel, I guess, or a spinoff of the Alien movies.
Prequel.
But first off, Prometheus is its own conversation because what the heck is the life cycle of that creature?
Oh, I have no idea.
Like, has anybody tried to map it out?
We could
do
a whole
episode mapping out the life cycle of the Prometheus creature because it doesn't make any sense. It's literally crazy. Like, somehow it's aerosol, but it's also in eggs and it grows in humans. I don't know.
It's the black goo. Yeah, I don't know.
It's black goo, but then there's also like the snaky thing, too.
The snaky thing.
Yeah. You know what I mean.
Excellent.
See?
Vernacular.
I'm just saying.
As I was saying, there is Prometheus.
Okay, this is like a... Can you just get to the point?
He was a trickster titan, and he famously stole fire from the gods. Fire, i.e. being the light of the lighthouse, and told Zeus, who was kind of like known to be kind of an all-encompassing asshole, ordered Prometheus to be chained to a rock where an eagle would arrive every day to pick out his organs, which is very reminiscent of the final scene of the movie.
Oh, okay. I'm not going to lie. I just had a Willem Dafoe monologue moment. And
is this what happens every time I talk about movies? You just like...
No, but Jonathan doesn't normally speak in more than two sentences at a time. So that was new for me. Oh, hello.
So that was the theory, yeah.
That was the theory. Wow, this is a pretty interesting theory. Yeah, so I just don't understand what was so great about the light. Like, I thought it was a little redonkatonk. Like, if I was working there and the guy was like, the light is mine, don't go near it, and then I heard him making those gross sounds up there, I would be like, I don't want to go near it. And also, if I was Rob, I'd be like, hell yeah, I don't have to wake up in the middle of the night and run the light. I can go to sleep.
But
I
guess you have to do the daily everything activities. Else.
Yeah, you did have to do the daily activities.
Yeah.
I guess I can see. And the house was really gross. And Willem was not very nice to him. I'm sorry. I'm just calling them their real names. So, true. Yeah.
Some of the shots were, like, just so striking. Like, the one of when they start to ingest, like, the lamp oil. And they just, like, start going crazy.
Yeah.
Some of the shots are just, like, so well framed.
And, I mean, the framing was good. It was just, like, boring.
It was...
It
was just boring.
There were so many times when I just was like, oh, it could end right now. And this would be a good, concise ending. And it just kept going. It just kept going. And I didn't want it to. I wanted it to end. Mm. Do you have any more talking points?
I don't think so.
All right. You ready for trivia?
Yeah. Hit me.
Getting situated.
I might know some of them, actually.
You might know some of them. So I first off wanted to start off by just making a comment. Okay. I just want to make a comment. It's not a trivia question. I'm just a frustrated comment. When I look up Robert Pattinson fun facts, I would say 70% of the fun facts are just listing off all the magazines that he got hottest whatever in whatever year in whatever magazine. And it was like, this is not a fun fact.
I mean, makes sense. The guy's attractive.
I think he's fine.
That's a good answer. Keep that attitude. Mighty I think fine. He's attractive. How many magazines did he get?
I don't know. I didn't count. I should have counted how many times Robert Pattinson has been in, like, a world's hottest whatever so that I could have given you just a trivia point. But it was so many that I'm not kidding. I stopped reading his fun facts because, like, these are not fun facts.
Wow.
This is just whatever magazine of whatever year he was the hottest guy.
Facts.
It was so funny. I was like, I'm not going to put any fun facts about him in here. Okay. So, first one. What true story was it based on?
I did hear that it was based on a true story, but I don't know the names of anybody.
It was really interesting. Okay, so the true story is called The Smalls Lighthouse Tragedy. So there were two men at this lighthouse, and both of them were named Thomas, just like in the movie.
Huh.
And when one of them died in a freak accident, the other was nervous that he was going to be accused of his partner's murder. So Thomas decided to not dispose of the body, but he put it in a coffin on the outside ledge. Then there were really bad storms and winds that would hit the corpse, and it would make it seem like its arm was calling Thomas over, like wielding him to come. And it made him go crazy. So when the authorities got there, they found Thomas was deranged, and they instituted a rule that three men had to be present at a lighthouse at all times because of it. Huh. Because the guy went crazy thinking that his friend was, like, dead but not dead and, like, ooh, calling him over. Isn't that crazy?
Dang.
I thought that was crazy because that's a real story. That actually happened to somebody.
Yeah, I believe it.
Did you know Jonathan's name is Thomas?
Jonathan Thomas Pyle.
Yeah, middle name's Thomas. So... you're one of them. One of the bros. Just seems like you can only for me to go crazy. Work at a lighthouse if your name is Thomas.
It was what I was destined to do.
Prerequisite. So what I was, please don't go work at a lighthouse. Oh my
be
gosh.
Wiki.
Okay. What lessons did the two actors have to take to prepare for the role?
What lessons? Okay, I know that Robert Pattinson had a very, like, complex auditioning techniques. He would make himself throw up. He would just get drunk, beat himself up to prepare for the role. Yeah.
Well, he would do it on set.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
To get ready for scenes. Mm-hmm. Like, I heard that the scene, you know, the scene where Willem Dafoe's laying on him and he starts to spill his beans?
Yeah.
They said that when they were trying to shoot it, Robert Pattinson was like gagging himself and Willem Dafoe was looking at him like, don't you throw up on me. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy things actors do to get into those mindsets. Like, I can't even imagine like acting the way that they acted and what it would take to get myself to think like that and act like that. It's really impressive. So, guess it's gagging yourself. So,
yeah.
More you know.
I got that right, technically.
No, you didn't. The answer was dancing.
Oh.
Yeah, the answer
was... Well, that works too.
They both took dancing lessons to prepare for the role.
Oh.
Isn't that... Because they didn't dance. I mean, they danced. They danced together, but it was like shuffling around.
Yeah, I guess there was olden dances. Olden time dances.
Oh, yeah. I guess they had to learn how to do those old dances, yeah, because they were dancing like that.
Back in the day.
That was so funny. I got the answer right. Not yet an end. Okay. How many times does Willem Dafoe.
Willem.
I'm sorry, his real name's William.
It is, but he changed it to Willem because it sounds cooler.
Actually, I looked it up and he changed it to Willem because that's what his friends called him in high school.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Whatever.
Question number four. Jonathan has gotten none of them right. How many times does Willem Dafoe blink in the sea curse scene?
Oh, yeah, none. Yeah. He doesn't blink at all.
Yeah, you got it right. He doesn't blink at all.
Which is so impressive.
Well, how many takes did it take?
I don't know. Three?
One.
It took one take?
Yeah. Well, you got that one wrong.
Freaking legend.
Well, that one right out of my booty hole. I wasn't even on the list. I just know it. So I got that one right. Yep. Okay. Where does the term wiki come from?
I have no idea.
I thought this was interesting. So it's comes from trimming the wick, which is a job that a lighthouse keeper does.
Oh.
Yeah. So that makes sense. Wikis. Hmm. Yeah. Which is kind of like, you know, your sister makes candles.
Yeah, sure.
She's kind of like a wiki. You should call her a wiki. But she'd love that.
She
would not like that. Let's not call her a wiki. What were Rob and Willem instructed to see in the light?
Like by like the director or like...
Yeah. What did the director tell them to see to make them act that way?
No idea.
I thought this was interesting. Nothing. He just told them how they were supposed to feel. Which,
that makes sense.
They're such good actors. Like, they're such good actors. Just being told how you're supposed to feel...
Yeah.
And being able to do that is crazy. I don't know.
Like, the final scene of, like, Robert Pattinson with this, like, screaming is so haunting to
me. It's so scary. And if you think about it, I always think about this. Like, whenever actors have scenes where they're directly in front of the camera, like, right up on the camera, like, there's a camera in their face right now, and they're doing that. Like, it's directly in their face, like this, and they're acting like that. It's crazy. Blows my mind.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I thought that was super interesting.
Great final scene.
Yeah, and there's literally nothing in the light.
Yeah, it's
there's nothing.
It's just light.
It's just a light, and they told them how they're supposed to feel. So I wonder if even the directors like had symbolism of it for their own. Because something I always think is very cool and I appreciate is when a artist or a creator of something accepts that like other different people are going to find different symbolism in what they do. And I feel like that's what makes art is the fact that like it can invoke emotions and symbols into people.
Subject.
Symbols that they wouldn't have even come up with on their own. I think it's really cool.
I always appreciate that too.
I think that's what makes something an art. And maybe people don't agree with me, such as some of the English teachers I've had in my life.
Yeah, I like when directors just don't give a straight answer because that would just ruin the ambiguity of it all.
Yeah, I agree because I kind of like to be able to come up with my own conclusions for it.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Why would you want to take that away from like an audience member by giving like a straight answer?
I know. And then I feel like it diminishes the feelings or emotions or opinions that a audience member comes up with that gives the movie or whatever art form significance to them.
Mm-hmm.
You're just diminishing it by the creator saying, no, this is what it means.
Yeah.
Because then the creator is taking away symbolism and significance of their own work by doing that. So I think it's kind of cool when they leave it ambiguous. It makes it more powerful.
Yeah, that does remind me of English class.
Literally, yeah. What inspired the poop in the face scene?
What am I? Give me a hint. What am I looking for here?
Another movie.
Another movie? Trainspotting? I have no idea.
The Big Lebowski.
I was actually thinking of saying that, actually. I'm not
kidding. I actually have never seen The Big Lebowski, so I don't know what it's referencing. But
neither have I.
I knew that you would know what it was referencing.
I don't. I haven't seen it. But all I know is that
white Russians in my head are like popular because of that movie. Yeah. Which are scrumdiptious. Jonathan doesn't like milk, though.
I like white Russians. They're good.
As long as there's no milk in them.
I'll do it sometimes. I'm going crazy.
Yeah. If it's before, like,
5 o'clock.
The sun has set in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was literally thinking The Big Lebowski, though.
Is there a scene in The Big Lebowski where someone gets poop in their face?
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it either.
I don't really want to see it. I don't really have any desire to see it.
I don't really know what it's about.
It's not like bowling and like...
Oh, gosh. I don't want to see it.
Jeff Bridges.
Bowling and someone gets poop in their face?
The dude. Hey, that's just like your opinion, man.
Is that from that movie?
Yeah, it's from that movie.
Oh my gosh. It's so hard for me to laugh without like my lungs like just collapsing into themselves. So
it's true.
Excuse me for not laughing too much. I'm laughing just silently. You just can't hear it.
Is that every time?
See, I'm laughing.
Tell a joke.
Right. See, I laughed and then I had to cough. Okay. How did they create the fart sounds?
By actually farting, I don't know.
The sound designer, Damien Volpe, I'm really sorry, I totally butchered his name, probably, stated that he won't reveal how he created the sounds of passing gas and that he will take the secret to his grave.
It's a little dramatic.
Yeah, that was the last trivia question I had for you. I thought that was a really hard hitter.
It's a lot dramatic.
Really hard hitter to finish off.
I mean, I could probably, if like, I was getting paid, I could probably figure out a way to get good fart sounds in a movie as a sound designer.
All natural, baby.
All natural.
Yeah. The farts were like, the second that his first fart happened, I'm like, so this is what this movie is going to be. Like, it just like set the scene the whole time. I was like, oh my gosh. And then the scene where they showed like the poopy in the bowls.
Wow. So descriptive, I mean.
So gross. Like when they showed a shot of the poop. It was gross.
It just blows back right into space.
I actually was like not looking at the screen when that happened. I was looking at my phone. And I missed it. But then you started laughing, and I was like, something happened. And I asked you what happened, as we already discussed how the movie went. I swear that movie felt like it was 4 hours long. It's harder to watch than Gone with the Wind.
That is not true.
Gone with the Wind is a good movie.
3 hours long.
I think it's 4 hours long.
Like 3.5.
I'm pretty sure it's like a 4 hour long movie.
We saw it together.
Yes. When Jonathan and I started dating... I don't know why, but I wanted to see Gone with the Wind, and they did that thing at our theater where they bring back old movies, and they were playing it, and I asked him to go, and the movie's so long, they had an intermission at the movie theater, and your mother was amazed that you would go.
Yeah, she was like, Gone with the Wind? It must be love.
I know, she was like, he must really like you if he would do that.
To be honest, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Look at you pulling all your movie quotes out your booty
hole. Actually, that's not exactly how that quote goes.
Well, how does it exactly go? Do you even know?
I'm blanking on it.
So.
I got it. Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
That was so funny. Realization. You had to get it out. You had to say it.
Yes.
That was so cute. Oh, my God. Well, Jonathan, do you want to talk about what movie we're going to watch next week?
Oh, yes. So we will be watching Martin McDonagh's movie The Banshees of Inisherin, movie.
Just came out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's what? It's on HBO?
HBO Max, yeah. With
you should watch it on HBO.
Brendan Gleeson and Colin Farrell. They're reuniting after in Bruges.
Bruges.
Which is a great movie.
See, that just reminds me of like the Bruges Madonna.
What is that?
I don't know. It's like art or something. Something called the Bruges Madonna. I don't know. I think I'm crazy. You know what? I think it was in... This is literally my brain going on a random tangent. I think that the Bruges Madonna was in the Monuments Men movie, and I think it was the thing that they were looking for.
Okay, that's really
obscure. It was like an artsy thing they were looking for. When you say Bruges, that's what I think of. I think there was a Madonna, which was like a sculpture in Bruges, and they were looking for it? I don't remember.
Gotcha. Well, anyway, we're excited about...
The Banshees of...
Inisherin.
Inisherin. What is Inisherin? The Banshees of Ed Sheeran.
Couldn't tell you.
Yep. All right. Well, everybody, I don't have anything else to say. Do you?
No.
Overall, it was a good movie. It was just not my kind of movie.
I love this movie. It's one of my favorites. It's so hard to watch. I have a poster of it.
I'm excited for the Banshees of Ed Sheeran, though.
Ed Sheeran.
There's no way I'll remember what it's called otherwise. All right. Bye, y'all.
Bye.